Welcome to In The Box for an extra special episode on International Women's Day. I'm here at Frenford Clubs in Ilford as they welcome local schools to take part in the Let Girls Play biggest football session ever. Over 250,000 players have been registered across the country to take part in this event. It is all about getting as many girls playing football on the same day as possible. This event is incredibly important because it links in with the FA's initiative to grant and gain girls equal access to football in their schools. I'm going to head indoors to find out more, but whilst I do that, let's see what Tom and Sarah are up to and whereabouts in the country they are.
Thanks, Charlotte. Hope you're keeping warm down there in London. We're here in Manchester. And it's not just the biggest ever football session here today, but it's International Women's Day. I just want to introduce Sarah, England Football Accredited Manager at the FA. It's only right on a day like today that we have ambassadors, leaders and role models like Charlotte and like Sarah that are fronting the women and girls game and leading strong.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here. We'll find out a bit later on how many girls took part in today's biggest ever girls football session. But this just shows the opportunities available to all to grow their girls offer or to take their first steps to providing equal access.
And what do we mean by equal access? That means giving girls the same opportunity as boys to take part in football, both in schools, clubs and their communities.
So Tom, for those tuning in who are keen to support girls with more opportunities to get into football, what can they do?
Right now, I'd encourage you to go check out England Football on any social channel, search Let Girls Play, or go to englandfootball.com. But we'll put all those links in the description below, and we'll be bringing more insight and tips throughout the episode.
So I've come inside into the warm, and I'm delighted to say I have Baroness Sue Campbell alongside me. Sue, thank you so much for joining us on In The Box. There's a hive of activity going on, not only here in Ilford, but across the country. Today is a hugely significant day for a number of reasons, but let's touch upon the government's announcement to invest a huge sum to help girls gain equal access into football. And this all came off of the back of the Euros Lionesses' success. Can you tell us a little bit more about how we've gotten to today?
Yes, well, the Euros was, as you know, just a very special moment for women's football. But on the day after the victory, we were on the bus going to the Trafalgar Square celebration, and Lotta and Leah came over and they said, look, we don't want the legacy to be simply the victory. We want to leave a proper legacy. And I said, what do you want that to be? And Lotta said very clearly, I don't want any girl to be denied the opportunity to play our sport in schools. So as a result of that, a letter was put together. All 23 players in the squad signed it. It went to the two then prospective prime ministers, Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. Rishi Sunak answered with a written response saying to all of the things that were in the letter, he would look at them all and he would start to move that forward. Then over the autumn, Leah Lotta met with the Secretaries of State, with me, and did a terrific job in front of politicians, as you would imagine, just speaking with real passion about their commitment to get girls active and particularly to give them opportunity to play football. And then over the last 2 months, we've had a lot of discussions, and today virtually everything they wrote in that original letter has been announced. So it's an incredible credit to all of them, to the team, particularly to Lotta and Leah. And, you know, an incredible step forward for the women's game.
It really is incredible. And it's great testament to them as people, isn't it, that as elite football players, they have used their success to carve open opportunities across the football pyramid as well, because this is going to have a huge impact within the school framework, but for clubs and leagues in the grassroots as well. It gives huge impetus to further spread opportunities for participation.
It's massive in terms of momentum. You know, it's been really interesting to see the reaction of people working at the top of the game to this announcement today, realising this is a game changer all the way through the system, which is fantastic. And you know, we've been working with Barclays, as you know, for a number of years, trying to improve access to football. This will turbocharge that at a speed we couldn't have possibly done without this announcement. And we, you know, I think it's an enormous step forward for the game as a whole. But it's also a big step forward for kids' physical, emotional well-being. We need more physical education. I don't think we've ever needed PE in sport more in our schools. You know, we're seeing obesity rise again. We're seeing all sorts of emotional and mental health problems. And I'm not saying PE and sport and football can solve all of that, but it can contribute. It can make a difference. So for me, you know, this is a win for every girl and boy in our schools to give them more time to enjoy physical education and school sport. But for us in football, a real opportunity for us to make sure every young girl who's aspiring, whether it's to put on that lioness shirt or whether it's just to play our game, gets the chance to do so.
It's a huge opportunity, and you use the word momentum, because from that success at the Euros, we swung into a really competitive domestic season. We've got the World Cup coming up as well. We have a lot of volunteers across the clubs and league network listen to this. What kind of tips or advice would you give them to capitalise upon the opportunity of the World Cup coming up in the summer, this announcement as well? What can they be doing at their clubs to make a difference?
I think the first thing I'd want to say to any of them is thank you very much for your commitment to the game and all you're doing. And I know most people don't want anything for volunteering, but just to say we do recognise the incredible job they do. I think this means, you know, hopefully you'll be getting more girls wanting to join your clubs. I know that might present issues, for example, around have we got enough volunteers, enough coaches? So maybe we could start to think about how do we get more people willing to volunteer, you know, mums and dads and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandparents. How do we get more people engaged in helping to support girls play? And the other big challenge will be facilities, no doubt. You know, facilities are very well used already. Where are we finding that extra space for girls to play? And maybe, you know, the local school, now it's really committed to football, has facilities. Maybe the clubs and the schools can work better together, and maybe some of those schools can be the home for club sides. So I think we've got to be creative and agile. But I would just say to any volunteer, thank you very much indeed. And this is a momentous day for all of us. For them included, aren't they a happy group, aren't they?
They are indeed. Yeah, yeah. I'll never get bored of the sound of girls saying vet girls play nice and loudly. And Sue, my final question to you on a personal level. I can remember as a little girl being sent home from school and being told that football wasn't for me. I know that you've had similar experiences and you've dedicated your life to trying to make sport more inclusive. How does today feel for you as a moment?
It feels really special. I'm genuinely really proud of the players. You know, like you said, this is a selfless thing to do. And, you know, over the years, I've spent a lot of time talking to these players, and they know what my passion is and what my commitment is. And it's just wonderful to see it in them and to see that dedication to try and make the game better. They've always wanted to be, they've never hesitated to want to inspire the next generation. They've been a pleasure to work with. And so for me, this is a fantastic moment for them. But it's for someone who loves PE and sport, this is an incredible moment for me. Yeah. Well, and there we go again.
On that note,
let girls play.
Thank you so much for your time. That's really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
There's certainly an amazing atmosphere down here. Tom, Sarah, what's going on in Manchester?
Now, we're extremely excited. We've come indoors to be joined by Karen Bardsley at the biggest ever football session and welcome her onto In The Box. 82 caps for England, 8 major trophies at Man City. Karen, today the government announced the opportunity for more girls to play football in schools thanks to that open letter after winning the Euros. What does that mean to someone like yourself?
It's enormous. I mean, it's fantastic to consider the fact that we've seen over the course of a year participation in this type of event triple, and to think that these girls now have the opportunity to have the required 2 hours of PE in school every single week, the same thing that the boys have. Like, that's what it's all about for me, is having that equity, the opportunity to have the same sort of platform to create either a career for yourself, but an opportunity to be fit and healthy, and just have some fun and play football and continue to change that public perception and that stigma that, girls can't play sport. Like, I'm not having that. Like, look, and look what the Lionesses have done. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, they're so inspirational. I'm so proud of not only how they've performed in terms of their success this summer at the Euros, but then, like, what they stand for and what they believe in, and the fact that they're not afraid to stand up for what they believe in. And they're such inspirational role models, like, to me, I'm retired, but then these girls, they must think they're absolute legends, you know what I mean? So, yeah, fantastic work that they've done, and we've tried to echo that in everything that we've been involved in. I'm chair of the Greater Manchester Women's Football Board, and with the likes of, you know, Sue Campbell and Andy Burnham, they've understood that this is something that will change the future of the girls in Greater Manchester and across England. And we wrote to the local schools across GM saying, like, if no one else is going to do it, Greater Manchester is going to do it because we do things differently. Getting in the thick of it. I'm going to get taken out. I need to watch my back.
And building on that, now we know that schools are committed to equal access. What part can grassroots and clubs play in supporting this movement?
Oh, it's so important, I think, for the local grassroots clubs to understand the fact that, you know, things are changing. It's time to evolve a little bit. So whether it's integrating that into your facilities, you know, making sure that you have male and female changing rooms or correct pitches or pitch availability, like that's one of the biggest things that we've seen here. Although there are tons of pitches in Greater Manchester, they're not always available, you know, so we have schools that close and that they don't always open their pitches to the girls' provision. So, okay, there's opportunities to play in school now, but where are they going to play outside of school? You know, so there's a huge knock-on effect. So getting the grassroots clubs to understand that, you know, investing in girls' sport is wildly important, you know, and again, as part of chairing the Greater Manchester Women's Football Board, we're trying to close that gap in terms of equality, the inequities that we see across Greater Manchester.
Goals just gone in.
I mean, frankly, like, this is just going to want to grow the sport. And I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, for grassroots clubs, like, getting people involved, getting people, you know, fit and healthy. And that's, again, working with those stakeholders on the Greater Manchester Women's Football Board. We've got Sport England, you know, Greater Sport, like, just so many fantastic facilities and charities. And the Football Foundation is trying to make this all happen. And that's it. It's a collaborative thing. It's for the what's best for football and women and girls football and just football in general. So I'm buzzing about it. You can probably tell, like, my mouth is running at the minute.
Thanks ever so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing what the future brings.
Me too. Thanks.
Girls should be able to play football because everyone's equal.
Football is a sport for everyone. Anyone can play it.
I like playing football because it keeps me healthy, active and very fit.
I just say be you and try your hardest.
Girls should have equality when it comes to sports because no sport has a gender and everyone should be able to play it.
Even if people say, like, you know, you can't play, just keep going if you like it.
Well, with all this football going on, I'm delighted to say that the boss joins me, England Lioness manager Serena Wiegmann. Serena, it's quite some talent on show today.
Yeah, well, it's so much joy, and all these little girls and some bigger girls that are coaching them a little bit. It's just really nice to see and to connect with those lovely kids.
Over 250,000 players have registered to be a part of this session today. What kind of message does that send about girls' football?
Well, it says something about legacy. It says that's how big the sport has become. It was already really big and gives an extra boost. And it says that girls really want to play football. And now they get the opportunity, already got the opportunity, but now it's emphasized and they get the opportunities and access. And yeah, more than 250,000 let girls play. It's just really nice.
How does it feel on a personal level to see the girls playing with smiles on their faces and a ball at their feet?
Yeah, well, I think it all starts at this age. The youngest age is when girls get enthusiastic about the sport and want to play and enjoy playing football. And that gives me a smile on my face too.
It's International Women's Day today. And I just wondered quickly, how nice is it for you to have conversations with some of the female teachers and female coaches making a difference and helping those younger players enjoy football as well?
Yeah, well, it's good, you know, we celebrate women's football, but we also have International Women's Day, and it's still necessary that we really have to address this, and hopefully in 10 years it's not necessary anymore, but it's good to hear the voices, to talk and to see more and more coaches in football, but also talk to the PE teachers now about this project too, that they're so happy that now there's more access in football, so of course that the government promised to get more access for girls in football in elementary school at PE lessons, but also outside football or outside school hours. So they're really, really happy that it's now like kind of formalised.
Absolutely. And of course, the Euro's success. You brought football home for us. But more than that, the England Lionesses have created a legacy, real sustainable change. How proud does that make you?
Yeah, it says everything about what kind of good human beings these players are. They're on the pitch, of course, fantastic, but off pitch are even more fantastic. It's just a very pleasure to work with them. But right after the 31st of July, they came with this letter. Now we're a couple of months further, and now this is what happens. And so it's the start, and it's a legacy, and hopefully that continues. And in 10 years, we see so many more girls that are then maybe in the age of 16 and still enjoying football at whatever level they're at that moment.
I'm sure it will be the start. And on behalf of everyone in the box as well, best of luck for the World Cup as well. We cannot wait to be supporting you there.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your support.
It's loud, it's lively, it's exactly how we want football to be. And I'm delighted to have alongside me now a former England Lioness and Barclays football ambassador, Kelly Smith, who's been on the podcast before, so I call her a friend of In The Box. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. You've got a bib on and you've been getting involved in the football today. How's it been?
I've really enjoyed it. I've realised how unfit I am. Obviously, I retired a good few years ago, but no, it's great for me to be here today with Wrighty playing football. You know, and the biggest ever girls football session. So, yeah, it's just encouraging to see so many girls interested in the game, playing with a smile on their face and just enjoying the experience of football.
You mentioned it there, playing with smiles on their faces, because for a very long time, this hasn't always been the case. Girls have an equal access to sport and football in particular. It's brilliant to see these scenes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. You know, I had to play football with the boys growing up. There were no girls teams for me to play on, certainly not in school. So, you know, with the new government funding that's just been announced today, you know, equal access, girls will get that. So this is what we've been campaigning for and talking about for so long. And to get girls that equal access is so vitally important, because at the grassroots level, so many girls are missing out on playing football. So we're hitting that right target age now. And they can play football in schools if they want to. It's called equal access. You know, if boys have it, the girls, in my opinion, the girls should have it.
I love hearing you talk about kind of equal access grassroots football into the elite level as well. And I just wondered, do you feel that with more girls playing football in their schools, it might change perception of the sport as a whole?
I certainly hope so. I think the Lionesses have done that this summer, changed the perception of the sport and how well they've done, how well they played. You know, winning the final against Germany in front of 90,000 people, all games were streamed, watched on BBC. They've just inspired a whole nation of not just young girls, but young boys to play football. So I hope that, you know, it's normalised now. Football's for everyone. It always has been. But I think some boys are a little bit resistant to girls still playing. So hopefully, you know, with this change that we have now, you know, it will normalise it and girls will feel accepted playing this beautiful game that we love.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. It's like a really momentous and special day, especially on International Women's Day as well. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tom and Sarah, how is everything going up in Manchester?
It's been an absolutely fantastic day so far, and I'm delighted to be joined now by Louise Gear, Head of Development at the FA. So, Lou, with the vision that you and the team set out around creating equal access for girls, you've been to Birmingham today, you're now in Manchester. How does it actually feel that it's actually happening?
It's so difficult to put into words. If we think that last year we had 90,000 girls taking part, and we were really chuffed with 90,000 girls, and to know that we've had over 270,000 girls playing football in schools up and down the country on the same day, on International Women's Day, has just been, unreal, really. And, you know, all of us that work in the women's game, we've always said the golden thread that runs through football from grassroots right through to the elite is that, you know, we want to create independent, resilient young women that can make a positive contribution in society. And you only have to look at the announcement that was made today and the legacy from the Women's Euros. It's everything. So it's really hard to put into words, to be honest, but hopefully those of you that have seen these girls play in Birmingham, in Manchester, in London and all over the place, you can see that those girls are oozing with confidence. They've got a ball at their feet, they're happy, they're healthy, they're outside and they're just enjoying playing football, which is amazing.
Yeah, and you mentioned there the announcement today, and we know that there's been investment and there continues to be investment dedicated to growing the women's game. we've seen today with the likes of Barclays that are partnering up with this programme in order to help us progress to where we are. How important is it to have those partners on board to help us continue to strive forward?
It's essential. We couldn't have done it without them. And I always think back and, you know, on my thoughts right at the beginning when I came to the FA, and I shared this image, I guess, with colleagues, and I said, the day when we get into a primary school and we walk out on break time and we see girls put their jumpers down as goalposts and they take over the playground and start to play football, will be the day when we know that we really have made transformational change. And we just could not have done it without our partner Barclays. I mean, the investment that they've put into the girls' football school partnerships has been absolutely huge. It's enabled us to create 270, soon to be 300 partnerships across the country that will eventually reach 90% of the schools. So that image that we've got, or that I had in my head, I think I've started to see it today. And so yeah, be ready for girls to put their jumpers down and take over the playgrounds. So definitely after today, I think that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there with girls using jumpers for goalposts. We've seen the 3G absolutely packed today. And we have no doubt that some of those girls will be looking for opportunities within clubs now.
Yeah.
If you had one message that clubs could take away in terms of how they can now embrace this and drive this forward, what would you say?
Our job's not done. It's just started. And, you know, we've got this opportunity now where every single girl in the country will be able to experience this beautiful game. And, you know, they may fall in love with it in their PE lesson, and schools are going to be giving them opportunities to play at lunchtime and after school. And they're going to want to go out and play at the weekends. And I guess my message to all of our clubs is that, you know, we need to be ready for them. We need to make sure we create the right environment for them. They want to play competitively, but they also want to have fun, and they want to enjoy the sport. So reach in to your Barclays Girls Football School partnership in your local area. As I said, there'll be 300 of these across the country, so we'll have universal coverage eventually. There'll be at least one or two within your local area. There may be opportunities to share facilities. If you feel you haven't got enough space to play on your club site, you might be able to capitalise on that partnership with the local girls football school partnership and share facilities, and maybe even use their young leaders. You might be able to bring them into your clubs as volunteers. So the recruitment, we hope, has been done for you, or it's certainly going to grow and grow over the years to come.
Thank you so much for your time, Lou. We look forward to seeing this go from strength to strength.
Thank you.
We found out today that there's going to be more opportunities for girls to play football at school. How does that make you feel?
Good, because then the girls have an opportunity that is the same as boys.
I feel like it's better because obviously in the past, boys used to think girls couldn't play football and all that. But obviously today we've proven that we can, and I think that's very good.
Well, girls should be able to play football because if men get to play football, well, it's just fair that girls get to play it too.
It's really nice to get together as a team to celebrate wins and, you know, come back stronger from losses.
I love playing football because I like being a goalie.
Don't give up, because if you love it that much, then like you shouldn't like worry about what people think.
Just give it your best shot. Obviously, you're not going to be perfect at the start, and just keep trying.
Come on, Linuses!
Well, so much has been said about the government's announcement to invest in football in schools. So I think it's really important we hear what a teacher has to say. And I'm delighted to have Katie alongside me. Katie, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself, your role and what school you're from.
So I'm a secondary PE teacher from Chadwell Heath Academy. And yeah, I'm just in charge of all the football at the Chadwell Heath Academy, and I've been there for 5 years. So I'm really enjoying it.
An awesome job. And I just wondered, how does it make you feel bringing the girls to big events and occasions like this?
It's so inspiring for me and for the girls. I think it's incredible for them to be part of not just a small event, but something that's actually such a big event that's going across the whole of the UK, and you know, be a part of something that maybe be a part of history, you know, and to get involved in it, not just playing the game, but also being able to come down and lead and inspire the younger generation. I think it's brilliant. I think all the opportunities that are available to young people today and to young girls is incredible.
It really is incredible. I almost wish I was as young.
Yeah, it's very different to when I was in school, I'll say that.
I just wonder, what kind of role do you think football can play in schools in changing perception of the wider women and girls game?
I think schools are an integral part. I think that when they come in year seven, I think from primary school, obviously they're playing together on the playgrounds, you know, they've got that kind of innocence about them. When they come into high school, they're up against different judgments and you're up against that inequality. And I think what's happened just recently with making sure that girls' football is on the curriculum, just creating that, narrowing that gap between the girls and the boys, and just showing that as a school, you know, representing both the girls and the boys and saying, do you know what, we're here for you all, we're going to provide opportunity for every single one of you, whether you're male or female, I think it's brilliant. And I think we need to make sure that we're paving the way and we're role models for this younger generation and changing their perception of how people see girls football and the opportunities and that they can create.
I absolutely agree with you there. And we look at success and we see what the Lionesses have done on the pitch.
So inspiring.
It is so inspiring. And with this legacy, not only will the girls be able to play football, but I imagine they're going to develop transferable skills that will help them in the classroom as well, with behaviour.
Oh, brilliant.
Maybe even with other subjects.
I mean, just having that representation in front of them, from obviously winning the Euros and all the other stuff that's going on as well, it's created so many opportunities, as you say, not just as a performer, but also you can see we've got our football activators here today. 2 years ago, we were obviously given an initiative that we could do with the Barclays game on. We were able to create these football activators from all our keen footballer girls who willingly wanted to do this. They wanted to develop those skills further. And as you say, these skills are transferable skills, using footballism as a tool, but obviously they can use those skills not only as a leader, but within the classroom, teamwork, communication skills, and just building that confidence in these young women and these young girls that they can go out into the world and feel proud of what they do. I think it's brilliant.
It is brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all
the
amazing work.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap here for this episode of In the Box. We've had a fantastic time here in Manchester. We've just got a small flavour of the activity that's taken place up and down the country today. We've filled Wembley three times over with the amount of girls that have participated in playing football up and down the country. Make sure you join us in the Clubhouse, our online community for league and club leaders, for more top tips about how you can start to open your doors and provide equal access for girls in clubs and leagues, not just within schools. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel on YouTube and check out every episode that we've got going on from the podcast. Just search In the Box.
It's been a fantastic day here in London as well. The women and girls game continues to grow from strength to strength, and long may that continue. The conversation isn't over though. Make sure you come and join us on Clubhouse, our online community, and share with us any comments you have about the biggest ever football session episodes. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And as I said, make sure that conversation carries on Clubhouse. Until next time, bye.